Hello and welcome once again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. My name is Matthew Monona, and along with my wife Victoria, our son Matthew, our helper Elijah, we own and operate the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash. You can find us at Highway 11W in Church Hill in the Powell Shopping Center. And we have created this car wash for a couple of different reasons. One, to get the Bible into your ears in a way that's non-traditional, typical, orthodox, four walls of the church type of way. And we do this by taking these messages and we play them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on a loop here at the Wash and Word. So if you're anywhere in the area, whether you're at the parking lot over by Powell's or over by the library, or you're waiting in line to get your car washed, even if we're not open, even if you're not getting your car washed, you tune to 107.1 FM, and you could hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We want this parking lot, this area, to be known as a place that you can go and hear the Word of God 24 hours a day, all day, every day. And so that's what we do, and that's why we're here. We're here to deliver the Word of God. We are a self-supported ministry, so if you believe in the verse-by-verse Bible teaching as being the most effective way to equip and train the saints of God for all that this world is throwing at us, and you want to support us, you can do so by coming by and just letting us work to earn the money that it takes to keep this ministry going. Like Paul, we want to present the Word of God free of charge, and our motto here is we want to settle the Word of God, not peddle it, and that's what we do. And so let's get back into our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. If you have any questions, you can go to washandword.com. All the information about our business and our ministry is there. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And if you missed any of the messages leading up to what we're about to do today, you can go again to the website, click on the media tab, and you can download and listen to for free any of our archive messages. So we're in the book of 1 Corinthians, just about ready to close it out. And we've already read the final verses of chapter 16, which is the last chapter in 1 Corinthians. And we're just kind of just going through and pointing out a few things in the end of Paul's letter. And if you know a lot about the New Testament epistles, a lot of the letters end with personal greetings. And this one's no different. Paul is singling out certain people and he's giving specific instruction to the church that he had left behind there in Corinth. And as we look at this, we're seeing some really important points that Paul has brought up. And some of the points that we were able to look at already is, real quick, there's no substitute for tithing time. Paul had talked about in chapter 16 about tithing and collecting money, but he says that in essence, nothing can replace tithing your time, whether it be to God or to your family, to your spouse, or to your children. Time is probably our most valuable tithing that we could possibly give. And then he also said that opposition is opportunity. And we rarely see opposition as opportunity, but Paul did, and we saw that in earlier in the chapter. And again, if you go to washandword.com, you can hear these messages and kind of pick up where we left off. But a fourth thing he said is to always be on your guard. And that was where we left off in our last message. And that's important because the moment you let your guard down, the enemy is going to fly in there and do the damage that he intends to do. I learned a long time ago through an example that the Lord showed me one time. It was a summer's evening or afternoon, and the bugs, mosquitoes especially, were particularly strong that day. And I remember spraying bug spray on my body to keep the mosquitoes off. And I recall this one mosquito just flying around my body, and he wasn't landing on me because I had the bug spray on, but he wasn't like leaving either. He was just kind of hovering around, and I realized what he was doing as he would go closer to my thigh where my shorts ended, or he'd go closer to my t-shirt where my sleeve ended. He was looking for a spot that I missed putting on the bug spray. And if he would have found that spot, he would have attacked and probably, bit me with a mosquito bite. And that's exactly the Lord showed me right there that that's exactly how the enemy, he's constantly hovering and flying around you, waiting and looking for a spot you have not protected, which is why it is so important that we remain strong, we remain in the Word, we remain in the fellowship, and as Paul says, and this is the point we're going to pick up at here in chapter 16, the fourth thing he says is to stand firm, because anything outside of the normal path that we can be on is going to require us to stand firm. Every time we take a step out of the norm, or we take a step of faith towards the Lord, you know, can I be honest here and blunt? The church is in trouble today. There are so many churches, not all of them, not all the time. There's a lot of good churches out there, a lot of people that love the Lord, a lot of pastors that are doing the best they can. But overall, by and large, the church has compromised the values and the truth of God's Word. And I'm talking about the entirety of it. And they have compromised it with the world. And the moment you start taking parts of the Bible out of your preaching or out of the service or away from the congregation, you're doing them a grave injustice. And when we start to compromise, nobody wins. And someone might say, well, we compromise. They won't put it that way because it sounds bad, but they'll say something to the effect of, well, we decided that it, you know, we should focus more on the things that, you know, it's a tough world and people need to hear about God's love and His forgiveness and how He can help you and comfort you. They absolutely need to hear that. But they also need to hear the part that says that God is a God of wrath and God is a God of order and that, you know, there is a hell and there is a judgment and God does hate sin. And, you know, the people that are sitting under you or in these churches, they need to hear both of these things. But somewhere along the line, we decided that it would be okay to just give them the stuff they want to hear. The Bible has something to say about that in 2 Timothy, where it says that there will come a day when large groups of people will gather together them, those who tickle their ears. I'm paraphrasing. But that's what we've come to today. And let me share a little cute anecdote about the dangers of compromise. A New York family bought a ranch out west where they intended to raise cattle. And friends visited and asked if the ranch had a name. Well, said the would-be cattleman, I wanted to name it Bar J. And my wife wanted to go with Susie Q. One of my sons liked the name Flying W, while the other one wanted Lazy Y. So we're calling it the Bar J Susie Q Flying W Lazy Y Ranch. The man looked puzzled and stated, well, where's all your cattle? The friend said, none of them survived the branding. still gets me. This is what happens when you compromise. You kill that which you're trying to help. Listen, standing firm in your faith or in your belief or in the Word of God, it's not an event. It's not a particular action. Standing firm is a lifestyle. It is something you have to choose ahead of time. It is a decision you make prior to the opposition you will face because of that decision. And it should be a part of every believer's life. I choose to stand up, not only in the face of direct opposition, but also against the subtle draw of an easier ministry, of an easier life, of an easier walk. And we must make this decision ahead of time. Moving on, Paul says, remain faithful. Remain faithful. I've learned that having faith and remaining faithful are not the same things. And if faith was secure the moment you got it, then it would never need to be tested. And so faith, remaining faith in faith, and having faith are two different things. We all have faith, but if we didn't need to exercise it or remain in it, as Paul describes, then we would never need it to be tested. And the testing of our faith produces, guess what? More faith. And so waning faith, faith that is struggling, is usually connected to some sort of disappointment or unmet expectation. Well, God didn't do what I expected. I thought for sure God would do it this way. Man, I'm suffering one loss after another. And we go on with these unmet expectations and disappointments, and that will test our faith. And if your faith is waning, it's probably because you had wrong expectations of what God was supposed to do in your situation. That's why Paul says, remain in the faith. Because remaining faithful when all seems lost, when everything is caving in, when it just didn't work out like you planned, well, friends, that is true faithfulness. So, look, I want to spend a couple of minutes on this thing about faith. Because most of us are looking for faith through some miracle or act of God. We're waiting for God to do something big so that our faith can be strengthened. Can I tell you something about faith? First of all, the Bible says that we're all administered a measure of faith. There is no one who lacks faith. We all have it. We are born with it. As Christians, we obviously have it because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you are a Christian, you've already exhibited a measure of faith in making the decision to become a Christian. So believer or non-believer alike possess faith. Now, faith is not, I'm not even going to say it's important. It's vital to our walk as Christians. And if we go around waiting for an event or for God to react and to get our faith strengthened or for us to make a decision that steps out in faith. You know, you may be saying, well, I'm not going to step out in faith and do this or, you know, buy this car or trade this job or whatever it is. If you're waiting for God to do something miraculous to show you your next step, well, Jesus had something to say about that. When the Pharisees asked him for a miracle, Jesus said, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miracle." And the only sign that we're supposed to have is what Jesus has already done. And what has Jesus done? He's done it all. He says, "The only sign I'll give you is the sign of Jonah, where he spent 3 days and three nights in the whale, the belly of the beast." And he used that reference because he knew he was going to spend 3 days in the belly of the earth as he died. But then with his ascension and his resurrection, he essentially gave us an endless supply of faith. Well, handsome radio teacher, I don't feel this great faith welling up within me. In fact, my life is filled with tentative decisions and anxiety and fear. My friends, I have to tell you, if that is how you feel, if that is how you are walking, it is your fault. I know you don't want to hear that, but if you've been listening to my teachings for any length of time, I tell you a lot of things you don't want to hear. It's your fault if your faith is weak. God has done everything, given everything, restored everything, and has put everything we need to walk in faith, to walk strong, to walk boldly. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace. How can we do that without faith? We already have the measure given to us. It's a bank account filled with immeasurable treasure of faith we are not tapping into. That's why I say it's our fault. If our faith is weak, if our faith is waning, we have stepped aside from the things God has called us to do. Stop saying you let yourself down or God let you down. Don't say that God did not live up to your own personal expectations or that you didn't live up to them. You know, stop looking at yourself. You are going to let yourself down all the time, especially if your focus is on you. Listen, when it comes to faith in yourself or your flesh or your ability, you can be 100% assured that it will fail. But when it comes to faith in God, faith in Christ, faith in the Holy Spirit, you can be 100% assured they will never fail. So friends, have faith that you are nothing, but also have faith that God is sovereign and He is everything. Well, we'll pick it up and finish chapter 16. We'll finish the book of 1 Corinthians in our next service. I want to remind you to come visit me on Sunday nights at 6 p.m. at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road, adjacent to the community swimming pool in Church Hill. Also, come by the Wash and Word. Let us know you're hearing us, and come by and let us work to wash your car. This is how we keep this ministry free of charge, and we keep it going. Thank you to all of you who have supported us, and we just look forward to seeing what God's going to do in this coming year. Have a blessed day.